Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday, and it's going to be a doozy of a Tuesday. First and foremost, I should let you know, we're going to talk about Mike Johnson standing up for Trump in New York City. That's an interesting turn of events, isn't it? Eric Adams says we need more illegals here because they're good swimmers. We're going to do a little Department of Labor, McDonald's, financial talk. Dave Reboy joins us about 30 minutes from now. He's going to talk in more depth about the infrastructure of the communists here in the United States of America. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. It's going to be an amazing night, an offensive night. And apparently that's the norm. You know how I always tell you can send us love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, and you can email. We love your emails. Email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Well, the commies, they definitely use the email address. And I'll never understand the concept of hate listening. I don't get it at all. I was told by my mentor, Michael Berry, 6 years ago when I first started doing media, he told me that the people who hate listen are actually your most loyal listeners. And I said, wait, what? He said, I'm not kidding. The people who hate you and hate the things you say, they will listen more and longer than the people who love the show. And because I was just starting out, I thought that sounded crazy. But it's so true. Who listens to something they hate? I don't listen to anything I hate. If I hate something, I turn it off. But we have all kinds. Look at this one. Jesse. Or no, they didn't address me properly. Excuse me, commies. You can call me Oracle or Shogun or what, Chris? You can call me any of those. Anyway, she says, you are the most despicable, disgusting, racist, homophobic piece of filth. That's not nice.
Why are you gay?
That ever breathed air on the planet. I feel so deeply sorry for your children who have to have a father who instills these values in them. Heaven forbid one of your kids turned out to be gay or fell in love with someone of a different race. They wouldn't even be able to tell you or turn to you. You know exactly who and what you are, and how you live with yourself is far beyond my scope of thinking. I know nothing will ever change until the day you meet your maker. The hatred you spread with your messages is reprehensible, and I don't know how you are able to get away with it. I hope you get taken off the air. Eventually, it couldn't come soon enough. Okay, first, that little jab about my children, feeling sorry for them. Did you know what I just did for my sons the other day? I taught them a valuable lesson because I love them. I told them, I called everyone in the fam, I was on the way home, and I told them I was stopping in the gas station for ice cream. The boys weren't paying attention, and so they didn't answer me and request anything. I brought home a pint of my favorite ice cream, and they were out back playing, and I quickly ran to the back door and I locked it, and then I knocked on the door and let them sit there and watch me eat it through the glass. And they were yelling, please don't eat it all. And I ate it all right in front of them. And that's teaching them a valuable lesson in life. That's how lucky they are to have me as a father. Anyway, as for getting kicked off the air, that may come one day. Until that day, though, commies, you're going to have to deal with us. Now, let's deal with so many things going on in the country. And I should note, might want to mark your calendar, about an hour from now, I'm going to tell a personal story about a hammock. One I've told before, but I haven't told it in a very long time. And I thought of my hammock story because I saw this dude in New York City who set up his hammock on one of the city buses, and I thought it looked like a blast. Let's talk about Joe Biden quickly, shall we? First, Biden was out there today giving all kinds of speeches on stuff, and I'll get to the Eric Adams stuff and Mike Johnson stuff, but man, if this doesn't sum up politics so much, and this is why it's so critical for people to be like you and be active citizens who seek out information, because the depth of politicians and their lies, there is no depth that they won't go to. There's not. Joe Biden is in trouble in Michigan. Well, let me clarify. Donald Trump appears to be curb stomping Joe Biden in the southern states, the Sun Belt states. We've had guests on. Ryan Gradusky came on last week and talked about that. But it is definitely a coin flip for the states that will win the election, decide the presidency. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those places. Michigan, he has to have it. You're going to see more campaign events in Michigan than you can ever imagine. So he has to have it. And there are a bunch of auto union guys up there angry with Joe Biden because the Biden administration forced all these electric vehicle things through and a bunch of guys got laid off and fired. Well, now Joe Biden, because it's an election year, he needs all those union guys to come back home. They're sitting at home. They're bitter. Many of them vote Democrat, but maybe they're mad. Maybe they're going to sit out this election. Maybe they're going to slip a secret vote in there for Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden gets up today. This is just, man, the depravity of these people. Joe Biden gets up today and he said this.
100% tariff on electric vehicles made in China. People say, wow. Because we're not going to let China flood our market, making it impossible for American auto manufacturers to compete fairly. We're also implementing a 25% tariff on electric vehicle batteries from China and a 25% tariff on critical minerals that make those batteries.
Yeah, except the electric vehicles that he's putting a tariff on from China, they don't actually come from China. They come from Mexico. This is U.S. Trade Rep Catherine Tai talking about this.
And the second question was on EVs and BYD in Mexico. At USTR, that is exactly what we are built to worry about and to be concerned with. That will require a separate pathway. This is about imports from China. What you're talking about would be imports from Mexico. Equally important, something that we are talking to our industry, our workers, and our partners about. And I would just ask you to stay tuned.
The reason you have to be hyper-informed and seek out information in a country like ours is because our traditional systems are all based on lies. And they're all lying to us at all times. So if you don't be like you are, I'm not talking about you, if Norm doesn't wake up and shape up and start digging into information, you never know anybody any better. If you're some union guy sitting in Michigan right now and you're angry about the whole electric vehicle thing, you're angry about your job, maybe your buddy lost his job, maybe you're worried about layoffs and you sit there and half pay attention, then on NBC News tonight, what you most definitely will see is Joe Biden up there saying 100% tariff. We're going to protect your jobs. And you go to work the next day and you tell your buddies, yeah, Joe Biden's got our back. I knew he would crack down on China. But the electric vehicles aren't coming from China. They're coming from Mexico. Ideally, you and me, we wouldn't have to live in a country where all of our institutions lie to us at all times about everything. That would obviously be ideal. That's the kind of America I want to live in. That's the kind of America you want to live in. That's the ideal country where when the CDC tells you something is safe and effective, you can take that to the bank. Ideally, that's the kind of country you would live in. Ideally, you, me, we would live in a country where the people in charge of immigration enforcement would want to enforce immigration. That would be ideal. Ideally, you, me, we would live in a country where the Fed, the Federal Reserve, they would be trying desperately to stop the destruction of the dollar so we can stop the destruction of our way of life as we watch it disappear. That would be ideal. But we don't get the ideal world we want. Frankly, nobody ever does. We have to learn how to exist in this country now. And in this country now, just like the Soviet Union was built on all lies, you knew instinctively as a citizen in the Soviet Union, whatever the government said was a lie. Whatever you saw on the news was a lie. It was just built in. It was a joke. It was a common joke amongst the people. We must get there as a people in the United States of America, because that is the kind of country we have now. Is that wonderful? No, it's terrible, but it is what it is. Everything is a lie at all times.
Be steady, stay the course, and continue to produce these incredible jobs. And the job, and by the way, the pay for the jobs are outpacing the inflation rate they're paying. We're going to be able to deal with this. It's going to take a little more time, but we're just focused on it.
Everything's a lie at all times. All right. We have to talk about what Eric Adams said about the illegals being good swimmers. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that,
you know what would help you swim better? Testosterone. Gentlemen,
testosterone is not a bad thing. It is the necessary thing. It's part of what makes you a man. You must have it. You must have it to help your mind. It's more than just your body. Help your mind think, focus, to help yourself stay calm. It does the opposite of what people think. Do you have any? Have you checked it out? Because T levels are in free fall in this country. Ladies, your levels are all screwed up too. And this is not any of our fault. All the crap that's in our water, in the foods, we have to fight back in a way that is healthy for us. That means a natural way, and that's where Chalk comes in. Chalk has many natural herbal supplements. I take a male vitality stack every single day. I've been taking it for 3 years. I never miss a day. I feel so good. You want to feel like that? Full of energy, pep, ready to go? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Gets you a huge discount on subscriptions, so go get one. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. It's going to be an amazing Tuesday. You know how we were having that talk last week about left-wing infrastructure, organizationally, how in-depth they are?
Dave Reboy is going to join us about 10 minutes from now because he's been hot on this. I told you last week he was kind of what sparked me into that long talk we had. He's going to join us next, 10 minutes from now, and he's going to break a lot of that stuff down, the who, what, when, where, and why, name names, give us some resources we can go read, looking into it. That'll be appointment television, even though this is radio. I don't know. Is appointment radio, is that a word? I don't think that's a term people use. I don't know. I went to community college. We have that and so much more coming on the show, but I just can't let this one go. So every now and then, it's funny because everybody, when it comes to illegals, Americans of all stripes, both parties, every color, every this or that, in fact, when it comes to all cultures, people can see obvious things, obvious trends with cultures. And yet, because we live in such a pathetic, feminized, namby-pamby society where everyone's worried about offending somebody, nobody ever wants to talk about it. And if you do, it's presented as racism. You know, Asians in my area, the Asians run every donut shop, every dry cleaner. They're all run by Asians. They're all delicious. That's the way it is. It's guaranteed. You got a dry cleaner nearby, the Asians run it. It's what they do. And nail salons, it's what they do. Everyone understands that Latino immigration, remember, illegal immigration now is coming from all over the planet, but Latino immigration, those who come from various spots in Latin America, Mexico, other places, they tend to go to more blue-collar jobs. If you have landscapers in your area, they're probably Mexicans or Guatemalans or something along those lines. They are working in the farmers' fields. The women, they do occupy so many maid positions, both private maids, hotel maids. That's where those people from those cultures, that's where they tend to drift. And everyone knows it. It's just no one wants to ever say that. Of course, I will, because you know I don't give a crap. But for the most part, people feel uncomfortable saying it. But it is funny, because on occasion, it'll just come out of people, and it just makes me laugh. Here is Eric Adams.
Those jobs that we are in high demand, we could expedite. How do we have a large body of people that are in our city and country that are excellent swimmers, and at the same time, we need lifeguards? And the only obstacle is that we won't give them the right to work to become a lifeguard.
Eric Adams. It's so Eric Adams took, you know, that old joke. I mean, there's a million versions of the joke. You've heard the joke before. Of course, you probably told the joke. You never told anyone because you didn't get fired. But why doesn't Mexico perform well at the Olympics? Because everyone who could run, jump, or swim is already across the border. Everyone's heard that joke before. Everyone's told that joke. I'll quit. You've told that joke. Don't act offended. Eric Adams just decided to weigh it all in. Hey, we know they're good swimmers. They made it across the Rio Grande. I don't know. Maybe instead of the illegals actually working as lifeguards, they should just be swim instructors, because the CDC did warn us that drowning deaths are on the rise for the first time. And of course, COVID lockdowns are to blame. Now, the only reason you got an article about this is you dig down into it and they find out, what do they say here? The grim report serves as further evidence of pandemic lockdowns disadvantaging vulnerable groups such as Black and Hispanic Americans. And look, COVID lockdowns didn't just affect people who had different skin colors. It destroyed poor people is what it did. Poor Black people, poor Mexicans, poor Puerto Ricans, poor Chinese, poor white people. Poor people suffered the greatest under COVID lockdowns. They did. And of course, swim lessons. I only brought this up actually because, one, it was a funny point to make off of Eric Adams' comments. And two, I was in the Marines with a couple guys who couldn't swim. We were in a boot camp with them, and you have to be able to swim. You have to. They'll teach you how. But I watched real fear as a drill instructor pushes you off the edge of the pool into the water. If you're a parent and you're at all able, teach your child to swim. I'm not saying professional swim lessons. I never had those. Of course, my parents got them for my sister, but not for me. I got thrown off a houseboat in Tennessee. Either way, I was always in the water. Always, from my earliest age, we were in a pool somewhere, or at the river, or at a lake, or down in Myrtle Beach, or somewhere. We were always in the water, and so I'm always comfortable in the water. And a million different times in my life, I've watched people who weren't raised in that way and never taught how to swim. And honestly, I've never mocked them. I would never mock you if that's you. I feel genuine sympathy for them, because uncomfort in the water, that's real fear. Real, genuine fear. You get people around it. I told you that time we were on, I was selling a bunch of RVs, and we went out on some big boat in Hawaii because we got a free trip to Hawaii. I'd sold so many RVs. We took some big catamaran out to some, snorkeling place. They parked the boat, and I just went diving right off the top of it, three stories up. I just Baja'd right off the end, dove right into the water, and I come up, and I'm all alone. Everyone's looking at me. I'm like, what are you doing? Get in the water. They're like, what about sharks? I said, oh, come on. We just need the slow swimmers to get in here. They'll be the ones to go down first. Anyway, we didn't have to worry because I still had my Byrna pistol launcher on me. I would like to see a shark withstand a shot from a Byrna pistol launcher. And remember, Byrna pistol launchers are non-lethal. I love animals. I would not want to kill the shark. I would simply want him to be debilitated. Now, truth be told, Byrna, to my knowledge, I don't think it's ever actually been used on sharks, but on people, it's amazingly effective. Pepper balls or tear gas balls. It's legal in all 50 states. Jesse, I can't get that here. New York won't let me. Legal in all 50 states with no permit and no background check needed. And this thing will stop a bad man fast like that. Got SWAT teams around the country carrying these things. Byrna is spelled B-Y-R-N-A. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off your order. I don't even know how many of these I own by now. I hand the things out like candy. They are amazing. Get one for yourself and the person in your life. All right. Byrna.com/Jesse. We will be right back with Dave Reboy. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I was looking forward to talking to Dave because it's been a while since I talked to Dave, and then I forgot about jazz music and how much he loves it, and now I was just reminded of it, and now I am filled with so many regrets. Joining me now, my friend Dave Reboy. You should go subscribe to his Substack. It's outstanding, late Republic nonsense. Dave, I'm going to set aside the jazz for a brief moment because I wanted you to come on and talk.
You know I did that on purpose.
I know you did. Yeah. I know you did. You're a bad person, Dave. You just needle at me and needle at me. All right, quit.
That's terrible.
So you've been talking a lot recently, and I've been talking a lot recently. Honestly, you gave me the idea to go into more depth on it last week about the infrastructure around American communism and how in depth they are and the funding, the organizational network, how they are so professional at it versus where we are and what we are. And I don't want to put any more words in your mouth. I want to give you the floor. What are you talking about?
This is a really big topic. And every so often, those of us on the right, will see it kind of bubbling up. We'll see like a little bit of, you know, the top of the iceberg of leftist, what's known as community organizing. And, just to rewind a little bit to 2008 and when Obama showed up on the scene, and I'll never forget the Republican convention where Sarah Palin got up there and she made fun of Barack Obama, whose only experience, only really formative experience outside of politics was in community organizing. And it was a punchline. Because folks on the right didn't really know what that is. And, very helpfully, a guy named Stanley Kurtz wrote a wonderful book, called Radical in Chief that really went in depth on the history and the extent of left-wing community organizing. And you know, that 2008 election put the name Saul Alinsky on the map for a lot of conservatives. We started to be aware of, you know, kind of what this guy is, you know, dimly. You know, but that was really the extent of it. And nobody on the right had any desire or plan to put in the hard work necessary to go and figure out what Alinsky was doing, or to realize that Alinsky was part of a very long, you know, really 100-year-old plus effort to do community organizing on the left. And it's one of the things that the right just kind of sucks at, and it's something that the left does very well and very seriously. I mean, there are schools for left-wing community organizing that you know, go back 50 years. There are thousands of books that have been written on the subject. You know, every once in a while, as I said, the newspapers or you know, conservative blogs will pick up on, you know, Lisa Fithian, who is probably the most well-known, well-regarded and important hard left activist. You know, she'll pop up at the pro-Hamas protests now. A few years ago, she was popping up at Occupy Wall Street. She's popping up at the BLM stuff. She's popping up at any type of anti-Trump rallies, and it's her job, and it's the job of people like her to organize people for change. You know, it's a really anodyne way of putting it, but to kind of create the conditions on the ground for the political end that they want. And often these efforts are met with little to no resistance from the right, and we're just completely flabbergasted when it comes to this stuff. And I'll give you an example of something that they do very well that we're just remarkably stupid at. For example, what they did with there's a group. Oh my God, I'm forgetting its name now. But there's a group now that monitors conservative websites. It has for a number of years. And what they will do is they will make sure to deny these conservative websites from getting Google ad dollars, and from being able to kind of monetize themselves. And they end up going out of business because they are blacklisted by Google, and you know, most web ads are run by Google. So what they're doing is they're effectively taking down right-wing websites kind of one by one. And they're doing this by denying advertiser dollars. And they're able to do this kind of very quietly. They go and they pick, you know, one little particular task for themselves, and that is at the fulcrum of of something important, you know, basically something that's you know, low effort, high reward, and they keep doing this, the right has nothing like it, you know, and we're just sitting ducks, so they do things like that. They do obviously also public events, where they do demonstrations, is what we're seeing right now with the pro Hamas stuff. And if you look into the literature, you'll see the absolute seriousness with which these people are doing it. And we laugh and we make fun of the folks with blue hair or pink hair, who look like they've never done a bit of exercise, and they're just kind of stereotypical leftists to be mocked. But behind those guys are the really smart people who are organizing them and who are treating those weirdos just basically as bodies inside inside a political campaign. And it's something that I and Kyle Scheidler and some other folks, David Hines, some of us who've been, involved in tracking these leftist community organizing groups, we've been banging on this drum forever. And, on the right, we have nothing similar. Until we start taking this stuff seriously, and what I mean by that is with tons of money, with smart people going into this field, with books and classes and all kinds of things, I think we're always going to be behind the eight ball on the right in terms of organizing people and creating a movement for the things that we want politically.
Dave, do you think, because I want to ask you one more big one. Do you think you could give me one more segment? I should have asked you beforehand, but I want to ask you the why. So here's I want everyone to know, I'm about to break early here, and I'm going to come back with Dave Reboy, and I'm going to ask him, because I'm fascinated, why are they so good at it, and why are we so bad at it on a macro level? Why are they professionals, and why are we amateurs? And I will deal with that with Dave in just a moment. Before I do that, let me do this really quickly. Let me tell you that dog food is not good for your dog. Look, I'm not calling it bad for your dog, but don't think that you're actually giving your dog nutrition. Dog food is all brown. Why do you think all of it's brown? No matter how many different kinds you buy, it's all brown. Why do you think that is? Because it's dead. Brown things are dead things. Green things are alive. They kill everything in dog food at the factory. So you feed your dog food your whole life, and you wonder why he dies at 8 years old. Our dogs die because they never get real nutrition. They die too early. Start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. It is packed vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils. You will see physical differences in your dog, his energy, his coat, his breath, when just like you, when you start getting real nutrition. Call them 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, do you have any idea how big Dave is? He's one of these workout freak guys. He could bench press a small house. If you call that jazz, I bet you he's going to murder you if you ever run into him. Anyway, we are back with my friend Dave Reboy, breaking down kind of left-wing organization versus the lack of right-wing organization here in America. Okay, Dave, you talked about how good they are and how long they've been at it, 100 years of organization and funding and this and that. But why are they so good at that? And why are we so bad at that when we're the good guys and they're the bad guys?
Well, that's a very involved question. But it's got a simple answer, which is you get what you prioritize. You get what you prioritize, and the right has been prioritizing different stuff. As we stand right now, the right is kind of in a pickle because we just don't think about these things. You know, I mean, there's obviously a kind of temperamental reason for it, which is at the end of the day, folks on the right want to go make money. And there are a lot of folks doing podcasts, and there are a lot of folks who are doing social media, and that's fine and that's great. But that seems to be where the energy is. And it seems to be, you know, I mean, heck, we even have presidential candidates that are doing things like selling NFTs and Bibles and stuff like that. Whereas on the left, they're just much smarter about this. When it comes to community organizing on a small local level, all the way up to mass media, where they just, you know, they have no problem funding outlets that are lost leaders. You know, like the New York Times and Time Magazine and MSNBC. I mean, you know, I mean, we all joke about how few viewers CNN and MSNBC have, and like, you know, how it they must be in the red every year, you know, going on 20 years already, and yet it's still there. And it's still there, and no one has decided to pull the plug on it as a bad investment, because they understand that even though it doesn't make money, it is a good investment, because it's enabling the left to inject ideas in real time into the bloodstream, into the conversation, and that is a thing that has value. You know, when we look at Hollywood. And we think, oh my God, you know, why is it that that these Hollywood studios, these big multinational conglomerates that own them, have no problem whatsoever, you know, putting up films that fail every year, that are woke? All they need to do is start making right wing movies, and they'll you know, they'll do so much better at the box office and with the bottom line. But they don't care. Because they understand that there are more important things than money, and that the thing that they believe is more important than money is their politics, and that's just where they are. So that's why you'll see investments from the left into things like, I mean, the Northwest Academy. If you're by a computer or a phone, you know, just Google the history of the Northwest Academy, which was one of the oldest, most storied schools. University PhD level institution for how to do hard left community organizing, and Barack Obama is a graduate. He came out of there, and a lot of the people who are, you know, who are kind of in this business all around the country, doing left wing activism, came out of there or similar organizations. And just to kind of leave you with a little thought is. The left has entire industries that are populated by tens of thousands of people that the right just does not have. And I'm talking specifically about the community organizing and that type of left-wing infrastructure. They have money for pro bono communications firms. That, you know, maybe are small, maybe there are a couple dozen or a couple hundred of them in the country, but their job is, you know, they'll get money from Soros or Tides Foundation or whoever. Their job is to identify your local environmental group or your local BLM group or whatever, and to provide pro bono communication services to them, to make sure that they have access to TV networks and newspaper reporters, you know, and radio stations, et cetera, et cetera. Things like that, the right doesn't have. So, you know, and at a time like this, when we see the pro-Hamas protests all over campuses, it's a really good time to take stock, because that's when, like, these guys pop up, from out of the shadows, and we get to see the outlines of kind of what this looks like. And I recommend everyone to go read a tablet piece about the funders of this particular of this particular movement, and with a lot of input from Kyle Scheidler in terms of how they work. Because look, it's fascinating stuff, and frankly, if you're on the right and you care about these things like you know, you and I do, it's really hard not to just be absolutely infuriated when yeah. you see the different ways the right and left allocate resources and time and energy.
It's
maddening, and it's dispiriting. And frankly, you know, it shouldn't fall to people like you and me to take $20 million. To set up a community organizing school, right? There should be other people with much deeper bank accounts that are willing to do that. But unfortunately, that's not the case. There are folks who've wanted to do this on the right and replicate what the left has for many, many years now. And they could not get funding. Nobody, you know, nobody really cares.
Yeah. So, we have much work to do when it comes to our rich guys on the right. Dave, I am up against the end of the hour. I'm up against the clock. My brother, you are the best. That is, I'm smarter now and everyone else is. We understand that. Go read that tablet piece. Dave, real quick, what was the title of that tablet piece so people can find it?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember.
No, it's but okay. Don't find it.
If you go to my Twitter, I'll tweet it out right now. My, okay. My Twitter is Dave Raboy at Twitter.
Okay. At Dave Raboy. Go read that tablet piece. I've read it and it's an awesome piece. I just forget the title myself. It's my fault. Dave, my brother, love you. As always, you are the best. All right. We still have 2 hours left. We're going to break from politics for a minute because there's a hammock in the news because of the dude and the hammock and the New York City bus. I have a hammock story. You want a hammock story? I got a hammock story for you. Next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.